She wanted to kill herself. Impulsive thoughts of suicide came at her with speed and brawn, outmaneuvering and muscling out all other ideas, trapping her in a dark and desperate corner for days. But they lacked stamina and withered into a flimsy flirtation. She didn't want to die yet. She was still a well-respected professor of psychology at Harvard University. She could still read and write and use the bathroom properly. She had time, and she had to tell John. She sat on the couch with a gray blanket on her lap, hugging her knees, feeling like she might throw up. He sat on the edge of the wing chair opposite her, his body utterly still. "Who told you this?" asked John. "Dr. Davis. He's a neurologist at Mass General." "A neurologist? When?"
10 days ago.
He turned his head and spun his wedding band while he seemed to examine the paint on the wall. She held her breath as she waited for him to look at her again. Maybe he'd never look at her the same way. Maybe she'd never breathe again. She hugged herself a little tighter. "He's wrong, Allie."
"He's not."
"There's nothing wrong with you."
"Yes, there is. I've been forgetting things."
"Everyone forgets things. I can never remember where I put my glasses. Should this doctor diagnose me with Alzheimer's too?"
"The kinds of problems I've been having aren't normal. It's not just misplacing glasses."
"All right, so you've been forgetting things, but you're menopausal, you're stressed, and your father's death probably brought back all sorts of feelings around losing your mom and Anne. You're probably depressed."
"I'm not depressed."
"How do you know? Are you a clinician? You should see your own doctor, not this neurologist."
"I did."
"Tell me exactly what she said."
"She didn't think it was depression or menopause. She didn't really have an explanation. She thought I might not be getting enough sleep. She wanted to wait and see me in a couple of months."
"See, you're just not taking care of yourself."
"She's not a neurologist, John. I get plenty of sleep. And that was in November. It's been a couple of months, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse."
She was asking him to believe in a single conversation what she had denied for months. She started with an example he already knew. "Remember I didn't go to Chicago?"
"That could happen to me or anyone we know. We have insane schedules."
"We've always had insane schedules, but I've never forgotten to get on a plane. It's not like I just missed my flight. I completely forgot about the conference altogether, and I'd been preparing for it all day."
He waited. There were giant secrets he didn't know about.
"I forget words, I completely forgot the topic of the lecture I was supposed to give and the time it took to walk from my office to class. I can't decipher the intention behind words I write in the morning on my to-do list by the middle of the afternoon."
She could read his unconvinced mind. Overtired, stress, anxiety. Normal, normal, normal.
"I didn't make the pudding on Christmas Eve because I couldn't. I couldn't remember a single step of the recipe. It was just gone, and I've made that dessert from memory every year since I was a kid." She presented a surprisingly solid case against herself. A jury of her peers might have heard enough. But John loved her.
"I was standing in front of Nini's in Harvard Square and had absolutely no idea how to get home. I couldn't figure out where I was."
"When was this?"
"September."
She broke his silence, but not his determination to defend the integrity of her mental health.
"That's only some of it. I'm terrified to think about what I'm forgetting that I'm not even aware of."
His expression shifted, as if he identified something potentially meaningful in the Rorschach-like smudges on one of his RNA films.
"Dan's wife."
He said it more to himself than to her.
"What?" she asked.
Something cracked. She saw it. The possibility of it seeped in, diluting his conviction.
"I need to do some reading, and then I want to talk to your neurologist."
Without looking at her, he got up and went straight into the study, leaving her alone on the couch, hugging her knees, feeling like she needed to throw up.